Peace River MLA Dan Williams joins us. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mr. MLA. Let's first talk about the budget. The budget was yesterday. Comments on how you think the budget went and how it came forward.
Well, thanks, Keith. I appreciate you having me. I'll say that the words balanced budget, I didn't expect to hear those out of Alberta Finance Minister's mouth for another decade. I really didn't. Mm. After 4 years of the NDP, who ran their fiscal house into the ground. I mean, we saw here Carmen Creek after the day after their first budget in 2015, we saw Shell pull out completely. That story repeated itself in terms of investment across the province, increasing the job creator. They increased the corporate tax rate by a third, just increasingly making it an impossible place to invest in Alberta. And we saw that happen over and over again. And then we had the pandemic, mm-hmm. a global pandemic that was so difficult on our businesses, on our communities. From a financial frame alone, I think it was devastating. Never mind the mental health, the social health, and the actual health of everyone through all the different effects of pandemics and the restrictions. So now to be here talking for the first time in, I think, 14 years, that Alberta has a balanced budget, I think, is an incredible statement. An incredible statement. It's due in part, yeah, to incredible oil and gas prices that we're seeing through the tail end of the pandemic and also tragically from the situation in Ukraine, which I think is regrettable and very, very sad situation with the tyranny of what looks to be a European dictator aggressively attacking an innocent country again. But that being said, the budget being balanced is also due to difficult decisions made early on of keeping spending proportional to what we need. I mean, we're now in line with other major provinces across the country. So if we kept to the NDP's 15% increase over their term in operational spending, we would have had a $6 billion deficit this year, right? So the fact is that we have a job creator tax cut that has brought in $400 million in revenue, so more money collected than the NDP did in their tax increase on corporations. We have bringing our spending in line with other provinces, which has made it so that we don't have that $6 billion deficit, but instead a surplus this year. And we have a resource industry that I'm proud of, that people like Justin Trudeau would rather shut down than be able to fuel our economy and fuel the families and communities across northern Alberta. So I think this is a great news story. We have a balanced budget. We're spending more on healthcare than at any point, a significant increase in healthcare this year. Of course, we're going to have to work to reform healthcare to make sure it serves Albertans well, but we need to make sure it's properly funded. Of course, we're seeing more investment in our communities and in our constituency than ever before in mm-hmm. this budget. Yeah. So, and that's going to become more and more unclear as every ministry rolls out its plan. So I think it's a huge, huge win for us as Albertans. I don't care who you are, where you come from. I mean, a balanced budget should be good news for everyone. And I hope NDP and our critics would agree that at least we have done everything we can to make sure Alberta is financially in a good spot for the decades to come.
You mentioned the northwestern Alberta and the constituency, I guess specifically here. I know there's money in LaCrete that's going there, and there's for the old hospital in High Prairie for the demolition there. Do you think northwest Alberta got a fair chunk of the pie?
I think we did. I did. I'm very proud of the work that my colleagues and I do, and it doesn't hurt that our good friend Travis Tase, the finance minister, is a born and bred northwestern Albertan himself. He knows what it is to live in Beaver Lodge, a northern Alberta community. So he knows that we have an obligation as a government to provide services for northern Albertans. That means roads, that means bridges, that means teachers and nurses, that means schools, that means all sorts of infrastructure. And our communities contribute so much, and we're happy to do so. I mean, we're not greedy by any means. We're happy to contribute and help those office towers in Calgary build another floor taller every year. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that when we go down to Calgary or Edmonton, we see that. We know that it's the resources out of our communities that produces that. But we also are happy to see that the government's investing back into our communities, right? Mm-hmm. And I can go on the list over the last couple of years from schools in Peace River, Manning, Fort Vermilion, Blue Hills, Pipeline from Wolverine line going up the northern part of my constituency. We have a maternal health care clinic in Lacrete. We see work in high level going on, collaboration with transportation for interchange. We see the Deller Lodge in Manning. We see the revamp, not only the finishing of the new bridge, but also another $40 million investment in revamping the current bridge. Geez, I should actually keep a list going, because that's only half of them. Right? I mean, it's gonna, and all of these projects are part of what will produce good, high-paying jobs in our communities. It's going to continue. It has helped us through low points, but it's going to help us in these highs as well. And it's going to continue to be an opportunity for us to continue creating the skilled trades that we need. And what I hear our biggest problem going forward is we have a lack of labor, skilled and unskilled labor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good problem to have, because we should be trying to convert those that demand for getting people hired into a lower unemployment rate. So more and more people are working. So that's what I think our big task is now. So let's get everybody with a job. The dignity that work brings to any individual and a family is important. It puts roof overhead and food on the plate and gives an individual a purpose in life. And it helps our communities thrive. Our communities really are based around the ability for us to sustainably develop our resources, to have retail, to be able to have service industry in our communities. Those are jobs. And that ultimately is what I think this budget is about.
If I may ask, I guess this is sort of near and dear to your heart and near and dear to my heart as well. You mentioned the healthcare as far as the budget is concerned. Where does the education, because I've always thought of education as being, you know, the big pair with mm-hmm. healthcare yep. As far as provincial politics is concerned, but where does the education aspect and sector get involved in the the budget process?
Right. So education is continuing to be funded. We are funding it at record level as well. We obviously are doing the best we can to make sure that we have a world-class education system. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the work that the minister has done is to make sure that we continue providing those services, but at the same time allow parents choice in their education. We have to recognize that ultimately parents are the ultimate educators of their kids. They're the ones that know their kids best. So our job as a government is to support parents in that. So obviously we have to continue funding it and allow choices in education, whether someone wants to educate at home, because I met a family in Peace River who does home education because they have a high needs son. And it's just so much easier for them mm-hmm. to be able to work with their child and keep a parent at home and create that high center of education. So whatever the circumstances are, we have to make sure that we're funding and supporting education in the province.
Turning the page a little bit, let's talk about the forest agreement that has come through with Tocco and West Fraser in High Prairie and Slave Lake. First question I got is, how big is this agreement for Northern Alberta, for this forest agreement to come through?
I'll give you a few numbers to describe it.
Please
These
do.
Forest management agreements last 20-year chunks, so we see this is going to create sustainability for 20 years in our region, and we have more of these renewals coming up. But it's important to know that these companies are here for a long term. These are long-term jobs. It's not as though we're going to see a blip and it go away. This is what forestry is. It's a backbone to our economy. Second number, $1.2 billion is what we expect to see because of this agreement over its term pumped into our economy. That is huge. And that's going to benefit retailers, restaurant owners, every other small business and large business, contractors that work for these mills. It's going to be a continued contribution to our economy over and over. And the third number is going to be $70 million. That is what we expect to collect in dues, because as you know, Keith, those trees belong to the people of Alberta. This is Crown land, and these companies are responsibly developing it in these 100-year forestry plans, these 20-year agreements, and they do it in, I think, the most sustainable way out of any industry that we have. I think that this industry should be touted by our radical environmentalist friends as one of the most important industries that we need to support. I'm very proud of my forestry industry across the entire Northwest. That $70 million is really what we're going to get from those trees that will go into being able to build our roads, hire our nurses, and continue providing services across Alberta. The forestry industry contributes massively to our provincial budget, and that provincial budget is there to serve Albertans. So I think everyone should be grateful for the forestry workers in their lives, because the work that they do ends up contributing back so that we can have our roads, our bridges, and have our communities running with the services that we all expect.
How needed is this agreement, especially with the small towns like High Prairie and maybe like Slave Lake and some of the other small communities in northwestern Alberta that rely on the lumber industry? How needed is this agreement, especially for those small towns?
I think it's incredibly important to know that we have that sustainability and confidence in those 20-year plans. And I want to say, yes, High Prairie and Peace River, but importantly, communities like Peavine and other First Nation communities in the area are really going to benefit from this. And they have been consulted. And I think, by and large, these companies have a good relationship with the First Nations, because largely forestry, better than almost any other industry, brings them into the fold and sees them as shared partners in the success. We have lots of local stories about that with mills that are right here, born in the Peace Country.
The next step in this process, I'm thinking this is sort of like a continuous process with this agreement.
Well, we have more agreements up for renewal over the next year. There'll be some big ones across the constituency. So as they get renewed, and if there are any changes to it, we're happy to keep you guys in the loop at River Country.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Mr. Williams, we turn another page and talk about rural internet. I know, talking with the mayors and the Reeves around Christmas time, New Year's time, that one of the big topics, especially heading into 2022, was the availability of the rural internet and the increase of the signal for rural internet. I ask, where are we in the process?
Great question. And the good news is this budget and the work that we've been doing with Minister Glubish, the Minister of Service Alberta, has been put us in a very good spot. So where we are is there's investment from the government of Alberta paired with the federal government, whose responsibility this is, but we know that we can't just wait for this to happen. So because of the initial money that we've put in, I believe it's about $150 million. The federal government's matching that and adding more, and we also see private dollars with these providers coming in, knowing that they have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to leverage these government dollars so that they can build in these communities that otherwise would just not get high-speed, broadband, good-quality internet. And the reason that's important that we do this is, one, it's going to get done faster with less government money because we've involved these providers right from the get-go. But we have to make sure we focus on communities like ours in the north that otherwise don't have an opportunity, where there's a critical mass of people in Edmonton or Calgary or, heck, even Grand Prairie or other communities. There seems to be a natural inclination for these companies, because of the market value, to bring in these high-speed internet connections. These other communities that are more remote, especially our northern ones, we need to make sure we focus on them now. And this is going to happen faster than if we just let it happen on its own, or if we just leave it up to government on its own. So by having the collaboration of private-public, we're in a much better spot to be able to get these services in.
That's a good point you bring up, the collaboration, especially with the elected leaders of the towns and counties. How key and how important is that to have that communication open with the towns and the counties, with the government, to keep the process moving forward?
Well, I think it's huge. I just had a meeting, I think it would have been a couple of weeks ago, where this was brought up very strongly by the representatives, the council members, and the mayor of High Level and also Rainbow. And these are two of the most remote communities in our province, right? I mean, we're northern here in Peace River, but boy, they are sure northern up there. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful to have them in our constituency and be able to work in oil and gas and forestry industries. But they also raise their kids in these towns, where over this last year we've seen, if we don't have access to high-speed internet, that can have an effect on their educational opportunities, mm-hmm. right? They also have family members that start businesses in these towns. Right, I mean, increasingly with the world today, you can start an online business and run that from a beautiful beach in Mexico or a beautiful community in northern Alberta, as long as we have that internet connection. So mm-hmm. keeping our communities thriving and oriented towards the economy of the future, this is key. This is absolutely key to make for the sake of our kids, for the sake of our economy. It's important that we get this one right.
how close are we to a solution or getting close to, if there is a solution in the process?
It's going to be a long-term solution. That means it takes a long time to implement. It will be years and years. The infrastructure itself takes years to build. This is not going to be the last round of funding. $150 million sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but it's not enough money to get rural internet, high-quality internet to our rural communities. So it's going to take more than a couple years by the time we finish this, but we're starting here right away. And so many of these different companies have submitted their plans to the Minister of Service Alberta. They're being reviewed to make sure that they're maximizing public dollars to get access to those who otherwise wouldn't. And in the coming months, we're going to see the minister come out with his decision on which plans are most beneficial and bang for buck for our dollars, and we're going to start moving ahead then.
I know you can't speak for them, but I guess a big question, since we're still early enough in the calendar year, is the leaders like Mr. Kenny and Mrs. Notley, are they ready and are they satisfied with what is going on and what is looking ahead in the calendar year of 2022 and beyond?
I don't think Ms. Notley is very content with what's going on. We have a throne speech that focused on a growing economy and protecting the most vulnerable, which went over, I think, incredibly well. I'm very excited to see many initiatives, including palliative care, training for underskilled workers. We had a balanced budget for the first time in 14 years, in spite of what the NDP left us, in spite of COVID for 2 years, in spite of a roller coaster for natural gas and oil prices. And we're lifting all restrictions, leading the entire country, and doing so safely, I might add. Mm-hmm. Every single province seems to be following our lead because we trusted the science and started lifting things, knowing that vaccine passports were ineffective at this point, knowing that we could just later this week going to be removing masks. I don't think Ms. Notley's very content. To be honest, I don't think she likes to see what's coming up. I see a strong province. Yes, folks, we've had our frustrations, and people have been, I don't know anyone that has not been put in a bad spot because of COVID. I don't know anyone that hasn't hurt from COVID, and some much, much more than others. But I think Albertans, are, especially Northern Albertans, are entrepreneurial, are resolute in moving forward. If the winter can't kick us out of Northern Alberta, then I don't think COVID or any other thing is going to be able to do it. I truly believe that we see a spring in Alberta happening right now that is going to rival an economic growth like anything we've seen in the last two decades, and I see Albertans coming together. That's what I see. I'm done with fighting with people back and forth. Take yes for an answer if you want to see restrictions gone. Take yes for an answer if you want to see it done safely. Take yes for an answer if you want to see your family back at work and being able to go spend your weekends at the lake or on vacation again, because the world is getting back to normal. So, I don't know. I guess that if I were Ms. Notley, I would have been very happy before things started to turn where Albertans said we're not going to be divided.
Well, that was the way I was sort of leaning on as far as the question is concerned. Can everybody in the House, or is everybody in the House looking forward to coming together, possibly getting solutions done, and where everybody can have the equal, I guess, balance, for lack of a better term, in the province of Alberta?
Well, I invite my NDP colleagues to be happy with the fact that things are going well, that we have a balanced budget, that families are in a better spot than they have been in the past, let's say, 6 years, 7 years, that they have optimism again. And if they want to work together collaboratively for the common good of Alberta, our economy, for the ability to fund education and healthcare at record levels because we see a growing economy, then I'll work with them, of course. But if they would rather not, then that's up to them too, and we'll see what the difference is at the ballot box next year.
MLA Dan Williams, I appreciate your time. Thank you
very
much, sir.
Always happy to be here, Keith.